Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability. We have with us today Dr. Douglas Lee, the lead author of the CCORT study on cardiovascular outcomes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, what is your position?
I'm a cardiologist with University Health Network.
Okay.
And probably more appropriately, a research fellow at the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences.
In Toronto?
In Toronto, and also a research fellow at the Framingham Heart Study in Massachusetts.
All right. Your studies uncovered something detrimental to heart patients that probably you didn't anticipate. It's your hypothesis that high-risk patients got the appropriate medication. But as it turns out, your study revealed something completely different. This is a wide-ranging study established for other reasons than to discover the results we're about to talk about, which are the withholding, whether it's inadvertent or not, of advanced cardiac medication from the most serious patients.
Intuitively, when we set out to do this analysis, we thought that intuitively that one would expect that if there was a higher risk of dying, that the higher risk patients would be more likely to receive these treatments, which have been shown to prolong life.
As you've mentioned, elderly patients and patients at higher risk are less likely to receive advanced treatment.
Yes.
You didn't anticipate this.
There existed studies in the literature to show that, for example, that coronary angiography or invasive cardiac procedures are less likely to be performed in the elderly.
Oh, yeah.
And that in some cases, certain therapies, such as thrombolytic therapies for heart attacks, are less likely to be used in the elderly.
When you talk about thrombolytic therapies, you're talking about blood thinning?
Clot-busting drugs that are used at the time that an acute heart attack happens.
Okay. Why would they be less often used in the elderly? They have side effects?
Probably a concern about side effects.
Okay.
It may be a concern that elderly patients were not the patients that were typically studied in randomized trials.
Yeah.
And the randomized controlled trials were where certain individuals were given the study drug and certain individuals were given placebo.
Right.
And the intervention was blinded, both the physician and the patient.
Right.
Have typically looked at younger and relatively healthier individuals than currently exist in the community.
Okay.
And so part of this may be that the randomized trial evidence may not directly translate in physicians' minds to giving these therapies that could potentially be harmful to elderly patients.
Oh, I see. So because they haven't been studied as thoroughly, physicians might be more reluctant.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Tell us about the study and tell us about the outcome and further hypothesis that you have for study that have emerged from what you found.
The present study was published in JAMA, and we looked at heart failure, which is a condition which affects a large segment of the population, which has also been predicted to affect 1 in 5 individuals over their lifetime.
Right.
We looked at the treatment of heart failure patients.
Yes.
And we looked at it in a slightly different way than previous studies.
Okay.
A lot of previous studies look at overall treatment rates in all heart failure patients in aggregate. However, we looked at treatment rates according to risk, and age was a major factor that was calculated into the determination of risk. We looked at heart failure patients who were admitted to a hospital in Ontario and looked at their treatment patterns according to what their predicted and actual observed risks of dying in the next year were, and looked at their treatment rates for receiving treatment with beta blockers and angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors,
right,
which are two classes of drugs that have been shown to reduce mortality
All right.
on failure patients.
Beta blockers are drugs that slow down your heartbeat and decrease your blood pressure as a result, and angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors are drugs that tend to dilate and stabilize the diameter of blood vessels, correct?
That's correct. They affect, they have a number of effects, both on the vasculature and also in the heart itself.
Okay.
We developed a model to predict what's going to happen to a heart failure patient once they arrive at the hospital. What is the likelihood that they will have a fatal event within 1 year or
okay.
within 30 days?
Okay.
We then used this method and looked at treatment rates according to their risks.
Right.
The risk prediction method involves a number of factors, including their presentation, clinical features, laboratory tests, but also a prominent factor in predicting outcome was the age at the time that that the heart failure developed.
Right.
Older patients are more likely to die at within 30 days and within a year of their heart failure onset.
Yeah.
Using this risk score, when we looked at the treatment rates according to their risk, we found that the predicted risk correlated pretty well with actually what happened with their observed mortality rate.
So first of all, the tools that you developed and shown to be accurate were doubly verified to be accurate for purposes of founding another study, this study.
Correct.
All right.
Then we looked at, within all the heart failure patients that were hospitalized in Ontario, we identified patients who had a low left ventricular ejection fraction.
What's that mean?
That's a abnormal heart pumping function.
Okay.
And also did not have some of the comorbidities that would typically exclude people from being included into randomized trials. We tried to identify patients in the community who would potentially be patients that might be included in those randomized trials of ACE inhibitors and beta blockers.
Right. So you're looking for people for whom ACE inhibitors and beta blockers might constitute a fairly full and complete health treatment at the time of the study, people whose diagnosis were complicated by the need for other drugs or the penalty for not including other drugs in their regimen at the time of the trial.
It's partly correct. Although we couldn't tease out a set of individuals that didn't require any other drug therapy, we did identify individuals that didn't have the low left ventricular ejection fraction, for example, was a inclusion criterion in the heart failure trials.
Okay.
And so we identified a subset of individuals in Ontario who were hospitalized for heart failure with low left ventricular ejection fraction, a very important inclusion criteria for the randomized trials.
All right, and why was it very important?
There are basically two types of heart failure. One type of heart failure is called systolic dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the heart may have been damaged from, let's say, some prior heart attack. It
right.
does not pump normally.
Yep.
Another type of heart failure is diastolic heart failure, in which the heart may be stiff or may not relax normally.
Oh.
But the pump function is preserved.
Okay.
That particular subgroup of heart failure, the diastolic heart failure group, has not been well studied in
All
randomized
right.
trials.
All right.
However, the systolic heart failure group has been studied in numerous trials. Beta blockers and ACE inhibitors have been shown to have significant benefit in a number of such trials.
And so this was the group that you studied?
Yes.
That's the systolic group?
That's the type of patient that we studied, yes.
Okay. How long did the study take?
All of the individuals were, the data on these individuals were collected over the span of, must be about 4 years from planning the actual design to the final data collection phase.
It's a very thorough study from the perspective of how long medical studies often take. I mean, I know some track people for almost a generation, but they're very unusual studies, and most don't go as long as yours, do they?
Yes, it was because the scale of the study was to try to get a sample of heart failure patients across the Ontario population. You know, it did require a significant amount of time to collect all the data.
So when your study was done, how long did it take to process the data and come up with these surprising conclusions?
After the data collection process, you know, it took a number of years to actually develop the predictive models. And then a couple of years after that to actually do the analyses.
All right, and what in brief did the study report?
So we found that patients who were at higher risk of dying were actually paradoxically less likely to receive treatments with these classes of drugs.
I've had a chance to review at least the side effects of these drugs, and forgive me, I'm not a doctor, but they don't seem like there are often serious side effects from them. What would prevent people from being prescribed them?
Well, you know, there aren't an extensive list of severe side effects.
But respiratory side effects from ACE inhibitors.
Yeah, there's the ones that are of concern are abnormal worsening kidney function.
Oh, I see.
In patients who are treated with ACE inhibitors. And low blood pressure. All of these medications reduce blood pressure. And so if the blood pressure before starting treatment is low to begin with, there might be a concern that starting these medications could actually even further lower the blood pressure.
Is the low blood pressure the thing that's connected with the kidney problems?
That's a good question. Potentially could be in that the kidneys would require an adequate blood pressure to perfuse the kidneys.
Right. So it's not established what the cause of the kidney problems is, just that there seems to be a statistical relationship between ACE inhibitors and kidney problems.
Yes, there is a relationship between ACE inhibitors and kidney problems.
It's statistical at this point rather than causal. We know that the two coexist, and it seems like the ACE inhibitors are involved in the kidney problems, but we don't know how.
No, I think there's pretty good evidence to suggest that there can be a causal relationship between the use of ACE inhibitors and worsening kidney function. However, in general, the side effect is a problem when the kidney function is bad to begin with.
I see.
And so if the kidney function is reasonably good before at baseline, before the ACE inhibitors are started,
right.
In general, it doesn't worsen, you know, significantly after the ACE inhibitors have been started.
Okay. Are you against prescribing it for elderly patients who might already have kidney problems then?
You know, as with many other things, it's, you know, the kidney function is not a black and white one.
Right.
In general, you know, as long as the kidney function is not severely reduced,
right.
The guidelines would recommend initially giving a trial of ACE inhibitors to make sure to see if, you know, if it is tolerated.
All right.
And so even though there may be some mild abnormality in renal function at baseline, these drugs, the ACE inhibitors, you know, the guidelines would recommend trying them. In our study, we looked at patients who had good kidney function or no significant abnormality of kidney function at baseline.
Right.
And when we did the analyses accounting for eliminating patients with poor kidney function, we found that it wasn't the kidney function by itself that explained the risk treatment paradox for ACE inhibitors.
Okay. And if low blood pressure is an indicator for kidney problems with ACE inhibitors, it's also an indicator for potential kidney problems with beta blockers as well, because as you mentioned, they both lower blood pressure.
Yes, it could be. The low blood pressure could also be a potential consideration for beta blockers. Additionally, in the analysis, we also excluded, you know, we did the analyses removing patients' blood pressures that could be considered low. So
right.
Even when we looked at individuals who had good blood pressure, no evidence of reduced, you know, blood pressure at baseline, there was an effect of the risk treatment mismatch remained present. So the blood pressure didn't explain the observations completely as well.
I see. I take it you were surprised, nevertheless, by the results of the study.
Yes, we were surprised by the extent of the mismatch, and I think it confirmed to us that some of the higher risk, patients weren't receiving the treatment, and so So the observations that had been seen, that had been noted with heart attacks, that higher risk heart attack patients, i.e. older heart attack patients, weren't receiving invasive therapy.